pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
When one reads through the gospel account of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, you cannot help but be moved by the wonderful love and grace of Jesus Christ. We read in these verses and in the chapters here towards the end of John's gospel of how our Lord was betrayed by one that he thought was trusted, a man by the name of Judas, Judas Iscariot. We read about the mock trial where Jesus Christ was falsely accused and where Pontius Pilate did not know what to do. He said, "I find no fault in him," and yet he passed Jesus along for further punishment. The Bible says he was spat upon. The Bible says his own disciple Peter denied him. The Bible tells us he was bound. The Bible says he was struck in the face while a covering was over his head. The Bible tells us he was scourged. And time again we read of his sufferings. He was stripped naked. He was beaten. He was whipped. Time and again we read of the blood that flowed down as the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. The Bible says in John 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." I want you to know this morning that God loves you. And we recognize his love every time we look at a cross and every time we consider the old rugged cross. This morning, for these next few moments, I want you to consider the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray that when we leave today, the cross will be something much more than just a symbol or a ceramic decoration in the house or a piece of jewelry, but that it will truly remind us of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you think with me this morning about the burdens of the cross? The burden that Jesus bore on the cross. The Bible says in verse 17, "He bearing his cross went forth into a place called Golgotha." I think of Jesus under the load of that cross. I think of the burden of the cross, first of all, as a physical burden, as he carried the cross to the point where finally he fell beneath the load and a man had to come and help him carry the cross the rest of the way. I think of the burden he must have felt physically, for not only was Jesus Christ 100% God, but he was 100% man. He was God in the flesh. And I think of those nails coming through his hands and the nail through his feet and the spear through his side. I think of the physical burden that Jesus bore, bearing the pain of the cross of Calvary. Isaiah describes it. Isaiah 53 in your notes in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Oh, we think of the wounds, we think of the scourging. The Bible says here in John 19:1, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." Some of you are aware of scourging and what was involved. There was perhaps a wooden rod. Attached to that rod were several leather straps. Attached to those straps were pieces of glass and metal. According to Jewish law, 39 times you could take this strap and you could bring it across one's back. According to the Roman law, there was no limit. Jesus Christ, time and again, had these pieces of metal and glass come to his back, and then they ripped those leather straps back until the pieces of metal and glass came tearing across his back. After that type of abuse, the Lord Jesus was placed on the cross. I just want you to understand today that he suffered physical pain in the atonement for our sin. I think of the physical burden. I think of the emotional burden. I think of what Jesus must have felt when Judas kissed him. Perhaps you've been betrayed by someone you thought was your friend or trusted confidant. I think of what Jesus must have felt when Peter said, "Forget this, I'm going to go fishing." And the one who said he would never turn his back on Jesus did exactly that. I think of what Jesus must have felt as they laughed at him, as they scorned him, as they mocked him. Mark chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and they platted a crown of thorns upon his head, and they began to salute him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote on him with a reed, and they spit on him, and bowing their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from on him and put his own clothes back on him and led him out to crucify him. Time and again, Jesus was ridiculed. Time and again, he was reviled, but he reviled not again. Jesus Christ bore the burden of physical pain, no doubt the burden of emotional pain. But I think the greatest burden of all was when Jesus Christ bore the spiritual burden of our sin in his own body. Now look at this verse in your notes, 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Please understand, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus Christ was the perfectly sinless Son of God. Now the time has come that he would go to the old rugged cross. Yes, he would bear physical pain. Yes, he would bear emotional rejection. But more than all of that, he would bear our sins in his own body. Every lie, every wicked thought, every immoral act, every indecent gesture, every sin of mankind, he would bear in his body on the cross. Perhaps when Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, perhaps when he knelt there and he prayed, and the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Perhaps those great drops of blood, perhaps that consternation was over the fact that the sins of the world soon would come upon him as he hung there suspended between heaven and earth. The sins of all of us there in his body on that day. The Lord says that God would darken the skies of heaven and that the veil of the temple would be torn from top to bottom, and God the Father no longer would look upon God the Son. Why? Because he was bearing at that moment the sins of the entire world. The burden of the cross, Jesus bore it all for you. But I want you to think with me this morning about the blood of the cross. The blood of the cross. Someone says, well, that's kind of a distasteful thought. Oh, not if you understand salvation. It's a wonderful thought. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 18. It says, where they crucified him. Where they crucified him. There are many dastardly things that could be said about crucifixion. It was the most painful way the Romans knew to bring someone's life to an end. But the significance of this type of death was that it was a bloody type of a death. The Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And when we consider the cross, we must not picture in our minds some dainty little Jesus there on the cross, some effeminate looking Jesus with perhaps a drop of blood here and there. No, no, the Bible says his visage was marred beyond recognition. It was a terrible, bloody death. When I think of the blood of Jesus Christ, I think first of all of this fact: it was from miraculous origin. The blood was from miraculous origin. Have you ever taken time to connect the dots between the virgin birth and the blood atonement on the cross? Oh, it's very important. You say, well, I'm not a theologian. No, but you are a Christian, I suppose. And it should matter to you what the Bible says about the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 1 and verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now think of it. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and that which was conceived in Mary was not the seed of a man or of a prophet or even a great man somewhere. No, no. That which was conceived in Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Hence, Jesus Christ was not the Son of man. He was the Son of God. Now, the world rejects that. And the world says all roads lead to the same place, and Jesus is one of the great ones. But they reject this simple fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, conceived in the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. And we see that borne out in Acts 20:28, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian elders. He said to them in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, notice this, which he hath purchased with his own blood. My friend, the church is not the four walls around us today. The church is comprised of people who have been born again. And the price that was paid for our redemption was none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one was conceived as Jesus was conceived. No one died and rose again as Jesus died and rose again. And so we consider his blood and we recognize, according to 1 Peter 1, and verse 19, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ is from miraculous origin. But notice, secondly, it provides miraculous opportunity. Miraculous opportunity. You say, well, surely you're talking here about getting saved and how someone can have salvation. Yes, but there's more than that, my friend. You see, when Jesus Christ shed his blood, listen very carefully, he gave an opportunity for you to have access to God directly. It is called the New Testament, the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, men came through the priest. And Aaron, the high priest, sprinkled the blood on the altar at the Day of Atonement. And it was through him that prayers were made for their atonement. But now, because Christ shed his blood, we can have direct access to God, the Heavenly Father. Look in your notes or look in your Bibles. Hebrews 10:19 explains this. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? What does it say there? By what? By the... Or because of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Because the blood was shed, we have access to God the Father through his flesh that was torn, through his blood that was shed. A price has been paid. Though I was unworthy, now I'm invited into the presence of God because of the merit of Jesus Christ applied to my account. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 in your notes. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, based upon his perfection, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, my friend, everyone here needs grace to help in time of need. There are those this morning here whom we love, we've mentioned earlier, with broken hearts and heavy hearts. And there are many folks today who have burdens and concerns. And we need grace to help in time of need. And I don't know about you, I'm glad I don't have to set up an appointment with a pastor or a priest or someone else to tell them my burdens, hoping that they can get it up to God. I'm glad today that I have direct access to God the Father. And that's because of the blood that was shed. This past Thursday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, a team of about 20 folks from our church gathered, and some were already there, and the rest of us came down to the country of El Salvador. Two of the finest young couples from this church are living there now. And they are planting churches in that needy country. We got on the plane and flew through the night, and as we landed and got into a place where we could freshen up, we got into the cars and headed down towards the first city where we would preach the first night. As we were traveling to this suburb of San Salvador, I said to the driver of the car, I saw a large Catholic church. I said, let's pull over here. I want to show some of these folks why we're here. You see, there's a lot of people that say you can find God in any different way, and as long as you believe in God, it's all good. There's a lot of folks that say all roads kind of lead to the same place. But my friend, when you really study it, there are so many divergent messages. And some churches say you have to be married and buried in their church. You have to observe their sacraments in order to get to heaven. And some say you have to knock on doors and do this and that and the other. There are so many divergent messages. And I said, let's just pull in here for a minute. Because there are a lot of people who don't realize they can come directly to God through Jesus Christ. We pulled in and took just a moment to observe something. I want you to just get a little clip of it. Maybe this will help you as the folks line up to confess their sins to the priest. Standing in line to go into one door, the priest goes in the other door. They go in. Perhaps they tell them about their cheating or their lying or their stealing. I don't know what sins they were there. The priest came out to talk to a friend for a moment. But these folks were lined up to tell this man all of the sins they had done that week. And as I stood there and observed these folks waiting in line to go speak to the man and tell him about their sin, I just had to stop in my spirit and say, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go in and tell another man. Thank you that I don't have to go in and pay some money hoping my prayers will get up to you. But because of the blood that was shed and because of the grace of God, I can enter boldly into the throne of grace. And I can say, Father, based upon the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, I am here to speak to you. Though I am unworthy, you shed your blood for me. And I come to you to speak to you and to pray to you and to tell you today that I love you and I need your help today. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity the blood has applied and provided for us. But notice today, not only the burden that Jesus bore on the cross, not only the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, but finally this morning, the blessings of the cross. I just want to share with you in closing some of the great blessings the cross of Jesus provides for everyone. If you'll look there in your Bible in John 19, I want you to see three words that Jesus said in verse number 30. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, what are those next three words, please? It is what? It is finished. He said, it is finished. Someone says, Pastor Chapel, what was finished? When Jesus said, it is finished, what was he referring to? Let me share with you some of the blessings of the finished work of Jesus Christ. I think, first of all, this morning of redemption. I think of the fact that I was lost, separated from God, and that by the shedding of his blood, he redeems me. He buys me back. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. I hope you noticed this morning in your notes, lots of Bible verses. Friend, the fact of the matter is, that's all that really matters. And the Bible says that if there's no shedding of the blood, then there's no remission of sin. And when Jesus shed his blood, he was purchasing us. He was paying for our sin. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. We needed someone to redeem us, someone to bring us back. Oh, all of us have a sin nature, no doubt. I like the story of the two little kids, a brother and sister, and they're on a rocking horse going back and forth. Finally, the sister says to the brother, you know, if one of us would get off this horse, there would be a lot more room for me. You know, all of us have that little selfish, prideful way about us. All of us are born in sin. But Jesus shed his blood to cover our sin. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. We're redeemed by that blood. How many of you remember the story in Exodus chapter number 12 of the Passover? And many plagues were coming upon Egypt. And the Bible says in Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God says, I'm going to bring a death angel through. But if you'll apply the blood of an innocent lamb to the doorpost, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There are many who have said, you know, the blood doesn't really matter. We ought not to make so much of the blood and so forth. My friend, without that blood, we don't have the redemption from our sin. It was the shedding of his blood. It costs more to redeem us than it did to create us. In creation, there was but the speaking of the word, but in redemption, there was the shedding of the blood. And how we thank God that he shed his blood, Hebrews 10:10, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of one body in Christ for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offerings, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had suffered once, a sacrifice, sat down forever. My friend Jesus Christ suffered and died, and he said, it is finished. He didn't say it's almost finished. He didn't say, I hope it's finished. He said, I have sacrificed once, and now he has sat down forever at the right hand of God the Father, and the shed blood still speaks out today, and it says forgiven, and it gives mercy, and it says all who will come to Jesus Christ can still be cleansed. For there is a fountain filled with blood, the songwriter said, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It provides redemption for our sin. It provides something else. Notice the second blessing. That is justification. Justification. Justification can be described very simply. It's just as if I had never sinned. God says, I'm going to buy you back. And God says, I'm going to put you in a justified, forgiven place. Romans 3 speaks of it. Romans 3:23, we read a moment ago, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Again, it's not of works. It's not about joining the church. It's not about baptism. It's not about giving money. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is not found in works or religion. It is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a payment through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You see, the forgiveness of Christ allows God's righteous demand to be met. A righteous God could not allow a sinful people into heaven, but Jesus paid the price for our sin, and now God is just and right in letting us have forgiveness and a home in heaven based upon the merit of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is called justification. When there is a forest fire, as we have seen here in the West many times, when those fires sweep through the trees and tear down structures, experts tell us there is really only one place the forest fire cannot reach, and that is the place where the fire has already burned itself out. There's only one safe place in a forest fire. That's the place that's already been burned out. And I want you to understand this morning that Calvary is the place where the fire of God's judgment has already burned itself out completely against sin. And that's why Calvary is the only safe place to come for your sin problem. For the judgment of God has already fallen there. And when you come to the cross of Calvary, you are justified. You are safe in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, my friend, there is room at the cross for you today. There is safety at the cross for you today. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You see, religion says, do this, do that. Religion says, join this, join that. Religion says all of these things we must do. But Jesus says, it's done. Done. He says, I paid it all on the cross of Calvary. The blessings of the cross, oh, redemption for sure. Justification. How about a third one quickly? Reconciliation. You see, the Bible says we were far away from God, separated from God. And yet when Jesus came, He offers to bring us close to God and reconcile us. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Dr. Tim LaHaye in his book, Are We Living in the Last Days, said, and I quote, the idea that all religions point to the same God is blasphemy. So is the idea that there are many ways to God. Buddha, Mary, Gaia, Mohammed, and Christ are not equal. They do not all carry equal weight with the triune God of the Bible. Just one was God's only begotten Son, and only He gives us access to God. There is one way to be reconciled to God, and that way is the way of the cross of Jesus Christ. For only Christ points to the cross and the empty tomb. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's not a religious leader that forgives sins. It's not a church that forgives sins. It's only by the blood of Christ that our sins are forgiven. And that's why this week is special to us. And that's why we tell others about Christ. And, oh, we see those who will go around with their message and their cause. But where are the Christians today who would say, I serve a risen Savior. I want you to know about Him. I want you to hear about Him. He's wonderful. He redeemed me. He justified me. He reconciled me unto Himself. But I want you to notice finally, and the greatest blessing, and we've really been already speaking about it, that's the blessing of salvation. You see, when someone is saved, when someone receives Christ as their Savior, it's redemption, it's justification, it's sanctification, but all of that really is wrapped up in this one word, salvation, you see. We got in that car and headed down for that first service Thursday night. I was a little weary, road weary, and we were talking with the preachers and so forth, and just came a point in the car where we were kind of quiet, my thoughts turned towards home, and I thought about Terry and the kids, and may have had a fleeting thought like, what am I doing with all this schedule and busyness? Right about then, as I was looking ahead in the car, maybe 15, 20 feet in front, I saw a young couple. They walked from a bus stop across their part of the freeway to the median. And for whatever reason, that young 20-something lady turned back to the street for a moment, and suddenly she was hit by a truck. The truck hit her and then tried to swerve and hit the car in front of us. And we slowed. I'll never forget what I saw that day. I'll never forget seeing a young husband fall to his knees and for whatever reason he began to rub the body in the back of his wife, and he began to search for some signs of life. There were none there. He looked up with the most frantic look, and police and others were there, and they came. And the Lord reminded me, that's why we send missionaries. That's why we pass gospel tracts. That's why we do what we do, because life is but a vapor. It appears and then it's gone. And everyone must make the most important decision of life. And that decision, my friend, is that you would receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 4, but after the loving kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. God in His mercy has come in order that each of us who are sinful, who fall short, might look to the cross and be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, this morning, He bore the burden for you. Do you understand? He shed His blood for you because He wants you to know the blessings of the cross. He wants you to experience redemption, justification. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you, my friend, to be saved by His mercy today. And if you're not saved today, I mean by that, there's never been a time in your life when you have put all of your trust in Jesus Christ alone. I urge you to come to Christ today and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner falling short, and I ask You to come into my life and be my Savior today. And may I say this? If you are saved, perhaps you've gotten a little weary with, you know, trying to be a good family person and going to church and doing all this stuff. May I just encourage you today to look to the cross. When you think your suffering's a little too much, would you consider Christ? And would you rededicate yourself anew and afresh and say, Jesus, if You would bear those thorns in Your brow, and if You would bear the cross for me, help me to be faithful for You. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today to thank You for the old rugged cross. As the song said a moment ago, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But You went there in our stead. How we thank You.